I took a trip over to Damariscotta Lake area, over to Camp Kiev. Has anybody here ever been to Camp Kiev? I never have been, but the South 58 middle school kids often go at least once or twice. It's lovely, lovely area. Has anybody ever been to Damariscotta Lake? Well, I don't feel so bad then, because I had never been to that part of the state, that little niche, and it was lovely. I took a drive on Monday all the way to Camp Kiev, lovely Damariscotta Lake, and it changed my life. Do you ever have times when just a moment in time can really change how you look at everything? It's called a paradigm shift, technically. I won't get into it all, but we had a minister's council retreat. I saw some old friends and some new friends, and a woman named Glynis Labar, who's one of our missionaries, one of our homeland national ministries, came and spoke. The topic was a very lofty topic for pastors: resurrection, relevance, and renewal. We were looking for an alliteration. But it was a profound paradigm shift for me in terms of where our culture is headed and how the church fits in to that culture. And we talked a lot about the breaking out of the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God is, what it looks like, how we're a part of it, and how Jesus came to proclaim the gospel of God, the kingdom of God, long before he was ever killed on the cross and resurrected. He had something to say even before all of that we put hinge our faith on. And what is that? What was he coming to proclaim? Anyway, very interesting. On Tuesday morning, so I read that Monday, on Tuesday morning, before breakfast, I was out for a walk. The grounds are quite lovely. I walked down to the water. And all of a sudden, walking toward me was an old friend from Stratton, who's now working at Kiev. I hadn't seen her in several years. And I looked up and saw her, and I called her by name. I recognized her first. And she ran toward me, and she gave me big hugs, and she immediately shed a couple of tears. And it became clear that I had appeared to her at just the right time to bring her a little sense of the kingdom. She's a woman of great faith. I was able to listen to her story and to hold her close and to pray for her right there on the side of the road. And I could remind her of God's story and God's story for her, and that God still has a plan for her and a hope for her and a future. And it was just the weirdest thing, because that wasn't my agenda for the day. I had no idea she was there. But I listened to her story, and then I told her the story, God's story, that she needed to be reminded of. Have you ever noticed how much of our lives are occupied with the hearing and the telling of stories? Think for a minute. You get together at weddings, and you tell stories. How you knew the bride, how you knew the groom, what they looked like when they were little. You know, if you're the parents of the bride and groom, you know, then you tell the embarrassing stories, right? You get together for what? Funerals. What do you do? You tell stories. The stories that were important to you, the things you want to remember about that person. We always tell stories, right? We go to work on Monday morning. We tell the story we did over the weekend. If you happen to have any friends at work, hopefully you do, right? You meet somebody in the store. You check up to see how they're doing. Invariably, at one time or another, you end up in a story. And television. Isn't television just stories? That's why we're addicted to it. We love stories, right? And I don't care if it's a baseball game, or a murder mystery, or a cooking show. I would venture to tell you that they're all stories. Because what would a good, like the English teacher say, what's a good story? You introduce the characters, right? You announce the team. You present the problem, right? Who's going to win? Or will this flambé work? I don't care what it is. There's the climax. You take it out of the oven. Or you get to the ninth inning. Then there's the resolution. Doesn't matter whether it's a baseball game or a cooking show or a murder mystery or whatever. It's really a story. We're people of stories. We want to know how it's going to turn out. Think of your favorite stories. Think of how many stories you already read. Even you, Jassy and Sarah. You've already read. How many stories have you already heard? How many stories have you already had your parents read to you? And can you recite The Big Red Barn? Can you recite? I can still recite Goodnight Moon. Story. Yeah? Yeah? And they make you write stories at school, don't they? And then they tell you whether your story is a good story or a bad story. Because it's usually missing one of these. Yeah, it's hard work. Writing a good story is really hard. Telling a story is not so hard, but writing one? That's hard work. But not all stories are equal. Some stories lead to hope. Some stories lead to despair. And what I want to ask you today is which stories can sustain you? Which stories can sustain you throughout your life? And which ones are, well, just entertaining? Because it's dangerous when we confuse the two. The ones that can sustain us from the ones that are just entertaining. I think a lot of folks spend a lot of time being entertained by stories that really aren't going to, in the end of the day, take them very far. The world is full of stories. A lot of them end up on bumper stickers, actually. You know, whoever dies with the most toys wins, or I did it my way, or put yourself first, no one else will. Those are actually all stories. But they're not life-giving. But look at this story of Paul and Silas. They're on their way to a place of prayer. They're traveling the countryside, doing what? They're telling the story of Jesus. That's all they're doing. They're telling the story of Jesus. Wherever they end up. And they're in this place, I think it's Lycia, they're doggedly followed by this slave girl who has a spirit of divination, sometimes called a mantic. Someone who can somehow look at you and see where you're going. And she's a slave, so she doesn't get paid for her work, so her owners are getting all that money. And evidently, there's quite a market for fortune telling. That's one of the reasons why you see, particularly in the Old Testament, God kind of making a list of things that he doesn't like. Fortune telling, magic, sorcery. There's a reason why you don't know your future. Take it on faith here. It will not help you. Okay? It will ruin the story. That's right. Finally, Paul becomes so, what? Irritated. Says the text. Irritated, troubled, not full of compassion. And I want to make sure you catch that because this is one of the things that reminds me how true and real the Bible is, because you and I would have cleaned that up. Paul would have been overflowing with compassion for this troubled young slave girl. No, he's actually just really irritated. And he turns to her and he casts out that spirit and he heals the girl. It's a great moment where that kingdom of God breaks in and everything's flipped on its head. And she's healed. Now, it's not perfect in our eyes because, well, she's still a slave, right? She's still a slave girl. And you have to wonder, gosh, what happens to her now? And it can't all be good news because now she doesn't even have a useful skill. All right? But the change has begun. Began not with compassion, by the way, with irritation. So sometimes, remember that? Sometimes you just do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. You can't always wait for those great feelings of compassion. Sometimes you just do it. The owner of the slave girls, lucrative income gone, go after the heroes of the story. There's a kangaroo court, they're severely flogged, they're beaten, they land in prison, right, in maximum security in the innermost part of the prison. It's terribly unjust, right? I hope you picked that up. Terribly unjust. And I hope you got a sense, even with our kids, for how awful it was. Don't romanticize prison. Anybody who's been there, there's nothing romantic about it. It was awful. It was awful. I'm just reading a book, a Jodi Picoult book now called Vanishing Act. I don't know if anybody's read it. It's available at the new Garibaldi Valley Library. But it's about a man who runs a senior center, brings home, you know, meals on wheels to people, and finds himself in prison awaiting trial on a kidnapping charge. He takes his daughter to protect her from his alcoholic wife. Anyway, it's a complicated story, as they often are. But there he is in prison, and he's surrounded by rapists and murderers and all these people, and he runs a senior center. And the things that he has to do and the changes he has to make in himself just in order to survive a couple of nights, a couple of weeks in prison. Don't romanticize the prison part, okay? And what does Paul and Silas do? What do? Did you pick up some? What do? They sing. They sing the story. They choose to sing the story. They sing the story that everybody in the jail can hear. And it sustains them. I wish we knew what hymns they were singing. You know, what songs, what were the words. But they were singing praise to God, singing the story of Jesus. Do you guys remember this song? If I can remember it. From a famous musical. Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. Does this sound familiar at all? Oh, you gotta rent the video. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and no one ever knows I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell. For when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. Not even sound vague. Anyway, can you name the musical at least? Ah, The King and I. Make believe you're brave, and the trip will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. It's a great song. I love that song. But that is not the song that Paul and Silas are singing. This song is a lot of fluff and a really pretty dress. Whenever I feel afraid, I whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. It's a great song. But it's not the kind of song that can sustain you through your life. What songs do you sing? What's the story that sustains you day after day and week after week and year after year? Is it sufficient to take you through the hard times as well as through the good times? Will it take you, can that story rejoice with you and mourn with you? There are a lot of people in our lives that are whistling a happy tune and hoping for the best. And it makes me sad, because that song cannot see them through the dark night of the soul. And the bottom will drop, you know, the bottom will drop out. We have a story to tell. We have a song to sing. And when we sing it, when we tell it, the kingdom of God breaks out in the midst of some pretty scary and terrible and awful situations. When people we love are dying, when people are in grief, when people have lost their job, when people have lost control of their lives, when things have overtaken them that they never expected would come their way. Running into my old friend from Stratton, Maine, down at Camp Keene, she needed a reminder. That's all she needed, a reminder that God was still for her and with her, and someone who cared enough to take the time to tell her that. And the people in our lives need that reminder too, even if they don't say, even if they say I'm not religious, even if they say I'm not a Christian, even if they're not kind of buying in, they still need a reminder that God loves them, that God remembers them, that they matter, that they have a purpose. And you can share that with anybody, even if they're not on the same page as you, because we all have that need to hear that story and to be reminded of that truth. Gone are the days when people will simply come to church to hear that story. So if we want other people to hear that story that will sustain us, we have to take it wherever we go. Yeah. And we need to be willing to do that. A little aside, that slave girl, she did get healed, right? But then what happened to her? Who knows? Why did Paul leave her there? No baptism, no church, no welcome into the community. We know that there were plenty of slaves in the early church. Be careful. The gospel, the kingdom of God, is not about simply about converting people. It's about caring for them. And I have to say, I love one of these stories because, as far as we know, that slave girl's kind of left out on a limb here. It's not all neat and nice and tidy and wrapped up. So I hope that your heart kind of burns for her to remember her, you know? And remember the people in our lives. Don't want to leave them hanging. If you had to sum up the story that you live by in one phrase or one sentence, think for a minute in your head, what would it be? If you had to sum up the story that you live by that sustains you, what would it be? And how would you describe it? I'm not going to make you share those, although if you have one, I'll be happy to hear. But just stop for a minute and say, God, what is it that sustains me? What is that story? What is that song? I hope it's not Whistle a Happy Tune. Although I like it. Does anyone have one? You don't have to say. Does anyone have one? A story or a phrase? A song? I've had more time to think about this than you, so I'm not going to put you on the spot. But I'll give you mine. At least it's a working title, so to speak. The phrase that carries me through, the song that I sing, it's kind of simplistic. But when you're in a panic, sometimes you don't need complicated. It's got two parts. God loves us, and God wins. You might be able to say that a little bit more fancy. You might be able to set it to music. God loves us, and God wins. We don't know the end of our stories, but we know the end of the story, and guess what? God wins, whatever that looks like. And Lord knows, plenty of people have tried to figure that out. In some ways, that's kind of a loose summary of the entire Bible. God loves us so much he sent his son. And God wins. At the end of the day, he is our master and our savior and our Lord. Do you think it's a story worth telling? I do. And I think it's a story that we can take wherever we go. Simple enough to remember, profound enough to hold on to. Do you think it's a story worth telling? I do. And we, God's people, we're the only ones around who can tell that story. That is our story to tell. Would you join me in prayer? God, we think of your story. We think of your written word, hundreds and hundreds of pages. We think of your living story, that living word. We think of Jesus. And we think of all the stories of our lives and all the things that we've heard. But God, in this time, in this place, we lay hold of your story. That it is the one that is true, that is good, that has power, that will carry us through. God, we can make it so complicated. and we have no way to know what Paul and Silas were singing. Probably Psalms. But I can also hear a little bit of "Jesus loves me, this I know." God, we are your people, nestled in you, to share your story, to bring your story, and to watch the kingdom break out all over. Thank you for breathing that story into our lives and giving us life and hope and love, even in the midst of some pretty scary stuff. You love us. And you are in charge. And you do have a plan. God, we think of the people whom we love who are in the midst of some pretty dangerous times. We think of Barbara's sister, Donna, and we think of Ezra. We even think of Bill and Louise. And all kinds of other folks who come to thought and mind. And we pray for your story of your love to be real to them. And that we might be brave enough just to share the story that's shared, that changed our lives in ways that make sense. And God, knit us together as your people. That by that Holy Spirit, which nestles in each one of us, like a spider web, like a community. You unite us together, you string us together, you hold us together for your pleasure and for your work. So God, unite us as one as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have changed the last hymn for today. Instead of "I Love to Tell the Story," which is a great story, we're going to sing "The Old Hardy Cross," which we haven't done in a long time. And Dave will lead us on that. I'm not sure what page it is.